Blog Talk Radio.
And good early evening. I'm Gwen Berry. With me today is Jack Jodell, and this is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. Today's guest is Leroy Moore, the founder of Crip Hop and a poet, mystic, a writer at Porn Magazine. He's got a lot to bring to the table with us today. Before we get into it, I want to say hello to both Jack and Leroy. Hi, guys.
Well, hi, Gwen, and hi, all you listeners out there. We hope to give you another good hour of progressive talk radio.
And hello, Gwen. Thank you for having me on, and yeah, thanks.
Mine is not progressive talk radio. Jack's side of the table is progressive. My side.
All right, radical left radio,
radical,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, okay. Hey, listen. Let me play a little something from our friend Burr Deming, whose fair and unbalanced blog always has a great deal of insight, and it's witty, and it's on the money. I don't always agree. He can be a little conservative, as they say, but you know what? He's always got a good point of view to put across. So I'm going to play a little this is 2 minutes, 30 seconds on Ted Cruz and what's going on this week with the Obamacare thing in the Congress. So this is Burr Deming from Fair and Unbalanced his blog. Just put it in Fair and Unbalanced. Sorry, I don't know the.
Burr Deming, along with our virtual fictitious assistant,
that would be me,
at fairandunbalanced.com, discussing Senator Ted Cruz and the prequel. It was a long, long, astonishingly long speech. Besides its length, it was criticized as self-promoting, even preening.
Looking at a transcript, you can find substance.
He offered commentary on the national work ethic and bureaucracy, a crazy, unintelligible, and incomprehensible system of work rules and inefficiency. Even some corporations were in for criticism, bonuses flowing with the certainty the state would make up losses. He was not entirely unsparing of his own party.
We know the party has problems.
Critics say the speech typifies his entire career going back to the very beginning.
He is sometimes characterized as a thug.
I certainly think of him that way. Even his friends have always feared him. But he does seem to be loved by his base. It is the on and on and on speech for which he seems destined to be remembered in history. It will not overshadow the destruction and danger he has carried with it, but it does mark a milestone. Pointless, rambling, self-promoting, aimless, and long, long, long.
It was not as long as Strom Thurmond's famous filibusters against equal rights for black people.
But Thurmond had a purpose. His objective was to keep black people down because, well, just because. This speech, in contrast, was a speeding car with no steering wheel. This new effort was directed toward nothing, really. Just a devotion to the speaker of words and more words, along with his continuous effort to remain the center of the world. As he spoke for hour after hour, he could not know that this day's time in the spotlight would be matched in pointlessness and overwhelmed in length by a 15-year-old kid in Texas who would one day grow up to be a United States Senator. It was February 5th, 1986. Fidel Castro finally ended his longest speech ever.
It went for over 7 hours.
Nobody knew that speech would serve as a template for a repeat performance.
I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere.
In the United States Senate more than 26 years later. This is Burr Deming, along with our virtual fictitious assistant.
That would be me.
At fairandunbalanced.com.
Well, I really want to thank Burr because he does bring some logic to the table.
Yes, and a little bit of wit too. You know, he had compared him to Fidel Castro, in terms of the length of the speech and all that stuff, referring to, of course, to Ted Cruz's recent, 11 or however many hours it was, 21-hour filibuster in the Senate. But I compared them, I think, more accurately to Joseph McCarthy because they're both demagogues. They're both they both got their eye on the camera and the spotlight, and they both need scapegoats. In McCarthy's case, it was communists everywhere, in Ted Cruz's case, it was he latched onto Obamacare and is riding it like a bucking bronco to its death. So it's just, it's, you know, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, as far as I'm concerned, they're both demagogues, they're both blowhards, and, you know, what more can I say? The guys are pathetic.
Leroy, did you catch all of this week while it was going on?
This week, no, I didn't catch it. Tell me what's up.
Well, they're trying to kill the new health plan.
Oh, yeah. There's no biggie.
It's like, I hear you loud and clear. In fact, the thing is that I'm noticing that in a lot of political circles, I mean, the political circles I listen to, people are just, you know, what the Congress is doing. The more important part about this is, who cares about Ted Cruz? The point is that they're going to stop the paychecks for a lot of military families, a lot of people,
right,
for the states, a lot of government employees that are just people working for maybe a city.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to put people in a big way of hurting. When there is
I wonder if we can just cut their tires, you know?
It's true. I mean,
a government shutdown will affect not only the government, 800,000 people will be out on the streets without employment. Whether they're compensated for it later in recompense or whatever is regardless of that fact, whether they are or not. The problem is that a lot of associated industries will suffer as a result of this shutdown. For example, it's going to affect the aerospace and defense industries. You know, people like Lockheed Martin and those types of people. A lot of businesses that supply them with goods and services will have to lay people off, and we're supposed to be adding people to the economy, not laying them off, and that's going to be the end result if there's a long and prolonged government shutdown, because it will affect those other industries.
But most of those industries that you just mentioned are just building a war machine, aren't they?
I know, it's terrible, but the problem is that they are interwoven with so many other industries. You know, people that supply them with paper and pens, they'll be hurt. People that supply them with dairy products for their kitchen, they'll be hurt. You know, there's all kinds of bad ramifications here. Not that I want to enshrine Lockheed Martin or people like that, because you know how I feel about those people. But, you know, it's just an example of how this is going to hurt the economy rather than help it. It won't help it in any degree at all.
It all spirals out. Leroy, maybe you can bring to the table what has come under the foot of government with the handicapped and crip people out there right now. What if you got to bring to our awareness right now? Speak, man.
Oh.
Tell us something.
Yeah, well, one thing I like to correct our language on, it's not handicapped, it's people with disabilities. So, yeah, it's a different term this decade, it's people with disabilities. But under what's going on with the government and the shutdown and all that stuff, is really, Poor Magazine has been following the story around Section 8 and public housing.
Yeah.
And how Section 8 and public housing has been, like, changing hands to private owners.
Yeah.
And Poor Magazine, Lisa Tenney Garcia, did a really good article about that, how you know, lately the government, Republican, Democrats, have all agreed to sell off public housing.
Yeah.
So that's definitely going to affect me because I live in a 6 and 8 apartment. So, you know, if my place goes up for sale, then, you know, most of the time your rent goes up. So that's one of the many issues that's happening, you know, dealing with people with disabilities.
Yeah, that's bad because the inevitable result of that will be privatization, and as things are privatized, rents are going to go up. They're not going to go down. They're going to go up. And, yep. You know, you're already got a compromised income if you're like most people with disabilities. And as a result of that, I mean, this is a hardship that you shouldn't have to bear.
Yeah. And you know, we were talking about the government shutdown, but it's interesting that a lot of senators and representatives and the president, you know, they all still get checks if the government closed down. So once again, it's not affecting them.
That's
the thing that we in this society we live in is that if it doesn't affect us, then we don't have to deal with it. See, it'd be a different story if one of the senators don't get paid, you know, during the shutdown, or get their car taken away or something like that, because it affects them.
It's horrible.
There's no hardship that the politicians have to bear when they put their foot on the necks of the people. There's just no hardship, and it's
good
it's,
point.
It's incredible to me that folks are still sort of waiting for, you know, it's like this nation is getting slowly more and more critical thinking is occurring with people. They're beginning to ask some serious questions, and yet they still sit around and wait for, if you will, the other boot to drop. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
you know, I like to look at Detroit because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, Detroit's in bankrupt and all that, and it's getting worse. But also there's some extraordinary things that has been happening in Detroit, you know, before the bankrupt and even now. So it really, really tells us, you know, do we really need, you know, government if we, the people, can, you know, pitch in and take care
we can do it without
our
government,
situation, you know.
Now, you're right. You know, there's a young man who was singled out. I don't know if it was on CNN or where I saw it, but this young man put together his own bus company that wouldn't be because they shut down the bus lines to people out in the suburbs. And
that was in Detroit?
Yeah, they needed their rides to work to make an income. And a lot of people are just going to go, you know, down the tubes, as they say. Now, Leroy, what else? I know about that. What else is going on in Detroit that you know of?
Well, my father lives in Detroit, so I'm not an expert about what's happening in Detroit, but I know that Greg blogs, I think it's BLOGDS, that center is doing some amazing work on, like, community gardens and taking, like, the land. Invisible, a hip-hop artist, activist in Detroit. He's doing amazing work, you know, doing cultural work around the issues around Detroit. He's brought, you know, art to the quote-unquote inner cities of Detroit. There's amazing work going on in Detroit.
I saw on Free Speech TV that a similar thing is happening in various cities in New Jersey and in New York City as well. A lot of special gardens have been set up in previously unused land. You know, an open spot is open, so they'll put a garden in there. That's great.
Yeah, and here in Oakland, Poor Magazine, you know, just is doing what's called Homefulness.
Yeah.
And they're building apartments and gardens and everything that really deals with the community in East Oakland. Matter of fact, today they're having a construction get together for the community garden and their places that they're going to build. So,
hopefulness is
a really different way of thinking about taking back the land.
Mm-hmm.
That really realizing that, we don't need, landlords, quote unquote landlords,
Yeah.
Or
any of that stuff.
Yeah, so it's a really great concept. You can go to poormagazine.org and read about it.
That's where Oso's been working for the last year. He has been working diligently with the Poor Magazine groups. And at the same time that they're reclaiming and rebuilding the community and planting nutritious food in the neighborhoods, at the same time they're doing that, they're also using that as a way of also protesting the viciousness of the police who are just after Homeland Security. And, of course, this has been a problem in for generations. But
constant
murder the police have committed, they're actively protesting issues that matter to the community from a heart chakra level. And it's an incredible model, I think, what Tiny Lisa and Poor Magazine and all those groups that are clung together under that umbrella are achieving out there is a real wonderful model. Somebody ought to be making a documentary right now on you folks out there, Leroy.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, too. I think they'll do it. You bring up police brutality, and that's another one issue that I like to speak on, is that, for me, I've been involved with police brutality against people with disabilities since the late 80s, from New York to Connecticut, and now here. And I just really don't see it getting any better. I see it getting worse.
Wow.
And also, I see that a lot of national organizations have finally jumped on the board of this issue of police brutality against people with disabilities, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Since I started getting involved in the late 80s, I was the only person with a clear disability at police commission hearings and at rallies. So I'm glad that it's getting, national organizations' attention. Unfortunately, I'm not glad on what they're doing with that attention, unfortunately. Since the 80s, the popular response to police brutality against people with disabilities has been only one avenue, and that's more training. And we can see that that one answer is not really, it can't work for the whole country because there's only one answer. So what? Hello?
Yeah, we're listening.
Yeah. So, I've been involved with a lot of organizations from Poor Magazine to the Artist Kelly Foundation in San Francisco, to October 22nd, to Cop Watch here in Berkeley. And, you know, all of them, in the beginning, you know, we thought that training could be the answer. And, you know, after years go by, we, you know, had to regroup, and we really see that the answer is not really the complete picture of the whole issue.
Uh-huh.
And so what I was thinking about, and many other people were thinking about, is that, you know, we're always going to be stuck with that answer because we're talking to, quote-unquote, mainstream media and government and national organizations and the police. So
right.
that answer is always going to stay there. But it doesn't mean that we, the activists, need to stay there.
No.
So I think we have so many other avenues to explore while national organizations and government, you know, do their thing. We need to do our thing. And I think it would be really cool if we had, like, an independent board around this country made up of people with disabilities to, one, because, one, there's not a report, a national report on this issue.
Huh.
Which is totally shocking. There's not one national report on this issue.
Yeah, and I'm surprised to learn that this is so widespread. You never see any of it in the news, and you know, when you see police brutality, it's usually associated with some type of riot or some type of civil disturbance, and the police go wild. But I was unaware that they were, you know, effectively picking on disabled people with disabilities. That's unbelievable.
Yes and no. You know, we come from the history of abuse. You know, I'm African-American black.
Uh-huh.
You know, so under slavery, we dealt with the master, you know. So
oh, yeah.
we come from this history of abuse. And if you add disability to it, the whole history of abuse against people with disabilities from institutions, from freak shows,
from
you know, to police. So the history is there, but once again, there's not a document. So I was thinking, and of course, you know, who's going to listen to a radical black disabled man, but anyway, I was thinking that, for one thing, you know, we live in a society that deals with numbers. You know, we don't react until you know, we have a report in front of us. You know,
uh-huh.
Nonprofits have to do number crunching every
right.
10 years. We do the census. We don't like it, but we do it. So it tells us that numbers are really important.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so if that's the case, then let's do a national report on police brutality against people with disabilities.
You know, that's
know
a good idea, and I would encourage all of us to somehow connect with some universities or something that do those types of reports.
Not really the universities, because the universities don't really speak the activist language, you know. And,
no.
And many times we get corrupt by the institutions, so we have to follow their tight language and all that stuff. But also,
well, who would prepare such a report?
Yeah, you know, we have to look at grassroots organizations that have done it. For example, the Malcolm X Grassroots Center in New York did a wonderful report on police brutality in the black community. It came out a couple years ago. Of course, it didn't get enough media because, of course, you know, it's not done by Harvard or Yale or, you know, it's done by a grassroots center made up of black and brown activist people. But anyway, that report is really important because that report gives us the full picture of police brutality against brown and black people. And that report was done before stop and frisk. So my little brain says, hey, wondering if the disability community, not the national organization, but the disability community can learn and could, you know, keen up with the Malcolm X Grassroots Center and say, okay, you did this report, tell us how we can do our report, you know, dealing with people with disabilities.
So you're going to look to create a network, perhaps of the larger urban areas in the country, finding some folks within the like activist handicapped communities that can tag up together and somehow get these surveys and reports accumulated or done, yeah?
Well, I'm not going to do it. You know, it's just an idea. I've turned my focus on cultural work. You know, I'll talk about that later. But it's just an idea for the disability community or the youth coming up today, because I'm, 45 years old. But, it just gives an idea for activists that are still out there on the streets doing their work. Is that, we can go down this route,
Well, that's a really great idea, Leroy. I mean, have you written an article about this for Four Magazine?
I need to. That's a good question. I need to. Like I said, the quote unquote the quote unquote training answer is always going to be there. So we can't say, okay, screw that, So we need to answer that question too. And my answer to training is that we need, can you picture this, people with disabilities going into police academies and really validate this training, because we have training for people with mental health disabilities. We're going to have training for people with developmental disabilities. But these trainings never been evaluated by people with disabilities.
So
can you imagine people with disabilities all over this country going into these places and say, okay, it's been 5-6 years, you've done the training, let's evaluate it. If it's not working, let's scrap it and do something else. So then once again, I'm talking about answers that gives us people with disabilities a real active role.
Yes.
Usually what happens is that, a case happens and they say, okay, we're going to do more training. It's like, okay, they develop the curriculum, sometimes with one or two, disabled people on board.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do the training and, nothing is followed up.
Yeah, I hear you.
So,
It's an excellent idea. It really deserves some words in, on paper and on the internet to get around so someone takes it up. Really, it's a brilliant idea.
And I want to say that recently, only a couple weeks ago, there's been this article floating around the internet that the ARC, it's called Association for Retired Citizens. I don't like their name, but anyway, they just got a $500,000 grant to start a national center around police and people with disabilities, well, people with developmental disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I have to stand back and say, you know, there's a lot of holes to it. And on the other side, I'm glad that finally there's only a center, but there's a lot of holes to it. Once again, they're only looking at training.
Yeah.
And once again, they can't be the whole piece of the pie. Another thing is that they're only talking to national organizations. So that tells you that where is the community involvement in that? You know, they probably have some community people, but all the stakeholders are national organizations.
They're removed from the intimacy of community.
Yeah, they're removed, and really, I think that it's mainly national disabled organizations. Once again, you know, if they broke out of that mode and say, hey, we need to listen to the grassroots, the Malcolm X grassroots center, then that would be a total different new relationship that I can teach them, you know.
But yeah.
Be a bunch of national organizations that are, I think, talking the same language, you know. Where's the education in that?
Yeah, it's not really penetrating very far.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, some of it I agree with having a center, you know. I agree with, you know, they're going to start collecting data, which, you know, I've been doing that since the 80s off and on around police brutality, so I'm glad they're going to have, you know, some kind of infrastructure to do that. But if it's all going to be poured into training, then I just don't see any good results coming from it. And if it's only going to involve national organizations or people with disabilities that has a high profile, then I just don't.
It's not going to put a real community dynamic in place. It's just going to evolve on its own circuitry.
Yeah, and it's not gonna have more answers than training. You know, for example, one case years ago, the Paul Childs case in Denver, where Paul Childs was an autistic teenager and was shot by police. You know, the community got together and said, yeah, okay, police training, but beyond that, we need our own community education around people with disabilities. So they took it on themselves to start a organization to have awareness in that community around black disabled people. And I think that that was a really good model. Unfortunately, I think that the funding, dried up, so it's not doing it no more.
I have to keep it vital. I know that's important. Gentlemen, let's take a 3-minute break and we'll come right back. I'm going to play a little something that it's thoughtful. And then we'll come back to more of Leroy Moore and Crip Hop and his handicapped, his report on handicap issues. Just take a breath.
Sounds good.
I sometimes feel like an alien creature for which there is no earthly explanation. Sure, I have human form, walking erect with opposing digits, but my mind is upside down. I feel like a run-on sentence in a punctuation-crazy world, and I see the world around me like a mad collective dream. An endless stream of people move like ants on the freeway, cell phones, PCs, and digital displays. In money we trust, we'll find happiness, the prevailing attitude. Like a genetically modified irradiated Big Mac is somehow symbolic of food. Morality is legislated, prisons overpopulated, religion is incorporated, the profit motive has permeated all activity. We pay our government to let us park on the street. And war is the biggest money maker of all. We all know missile envy only comes from being small. Politicians and prostitutes are comfortable together. I wonder if they talk about the strange change in the weather. This government was founded by, of, and for the people, but everybody feels it like a giant open sore. They don't represent us anymore. And blaming the president for the country's woes is like yelling at a puppet for the way it sings. Who's the man behind the curtain pulling the strings? A billion people sitting watching their TV in the room that they call living. But as for me, I see living as loving. And since there is no loving room, I sit on the grass under a tree, dreaming of the way things used to be, pre-industrial revolution. Which of course is before the rivers and oceans and skies were polluted, before Parkinson's and mad cows and all the convoluted cacophony of bad ideas like skyscrapers and tree paper and earth rapers like Monsanto and DuPont had their way, as they continue to today. This was pre-us. Back when the buffalo roamed and the Indian's home was the forest and God was nature and heaven was here and now. Can you imagine clean water, food, and air, living in community with animals and people who care? Do you dare to feel responsible for every dollar you lay down? Are you going to make the rich man richer or are you going to stand your ground? Say you want a revolution, a communal evolution, to be a part of the solution. Maybe I'll be seeing you around.
That's a little Woody Harrelson for you. Can you believe it? Well, something for Leroy, because Leroy is an outstanding poet. I thought you might appreciate a little bit of competition here that was well-intentioned.
Leroy, do you publish your poems in Poor Magazine, or where can they be found?
Yeah, so talking about cultural work and poetry, I published my poems, some of them on Poor Magazine's website, and also people in the Bay Area, people coming to the Bay Area, uh-huh. can see Sins and Ballads. that's another cultural or disability justice organization that I work for. And as a matter of fact, we're having our event coming up in October 11th and 12th here in Oakland at the New Parkway Theater. We're having what's called Quip Soiree event, and it's going to be spoken word and song by Nomi Lamb. She's a local artist and disability justice activist. Myself, Maria Palazzo from Texas, and we're coming together. We do it every year, but this year it's different because we're about to release our film documentary about Thames and Valley. So it's going to be really cool. You guys could see the film and also see us perform at the New Parkway Theater, Oakland, California, October 11th and 12th.
Wow. Hey,
great.
What's the name of the film?
Excuse me?
What's the name of your film?
It's called Sins and Valleys. So it's the name of the organization. So it's going to be easy to find. Yeah, Sins and Valleys, and the director of the film, and Sins and Valleys, and also the artistic director is Patty Byrne. And see the wonderful disability justice activist and artist and coordinator of Sins and Valleys. So, yeah, and
well,
a really, really good friend of mine.
If we wanted to purchase this or be able to see this beyond, you know, all the folks that listen in from different places, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we're about to go to the film festival circuit, and we realized that we can't sell the film after we go through the film festival circuit. So that's gonna happen after our event in October, but we are teaming up with universities and colleges to bring us there to show the film. So if people know of colleges or universities that want, Sins to come and show the film and also do a disability justice workshop, we'd love to do that. We're about to go to Chicago, University of Washington. We were talking to George Washington University in D.C. So, yeah. So, if anybody's listening and that knows a college or university that are interested in having things come, then yeah, please call us. And the phone number of Sins Invalid, that's S-I-N-S Invalid, is 510-689-7198. And you could go to our website, sinsinvalid.org. That's S-I-N-S Invalid. And also we have a Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and type in Sins and Valid.
Very good. Very good. Glad you got that information out.
Yeah.
You're looking forward to this. This is like in the next, it's 12 days away and it starts. So you've got a little under 2 weeks. And how are you promoting it?
Oh, yeah, we're promoting it everywhere through our Facebook page. We are going to get on radio shows. We're going to get on Hard Knock Radio here on KPFA in Berkeley. We've done postcard droppings. We've been on blogs. We, you know, I think Patty Byrne would love to come on your blog talk radio and talk about it. But yeah, we are promoting it constantly.
Listen, you all are both invited the week before if you'd like to come on and give a shout out for it. We're very happy to accommodate you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's excellent. And, you know, beyond Sinsen Valley, I do what's called Quip Hop Nation. And Quip Hop last year put out a hip hop CD around police brutality against people with disabilities. I think it's one of the first CDs, and usually I don't like to say the first because, you know, we really don't know, but I think I know 99% sure that this is the first CD that deals with police brutality that's coming from hip hop artists and poets with disabilities. So we have these CDs. I have boxes and boxes full of them. So
what's the name of the CD?
The name of the CD is called Broken Bodies, Police Brutality Profiling Mixtape.
And how can people get a hold of this?
Well, I'm doing it old school, like, you know, from my apartment. You know, people can drop me a line at quiphotnation@gmail.com. You know, drop me your email, your street address, and I can send one out to you. And also, you can also get me on Facebook, just Leroy Moore. I'm on Facebook. And Quip Hop has its own page.
And do you have anything online people can listen to, like at Reverb Nation or at SoundCloud or anything?
Yeah, we got SoundCloud. Just type in Quip Hop on Leroy. We was selling it offline, but we had to take it down for a couple months. We're going to put it back up soon. But yeah, you can go to Reverb, you can go to, and Quip Hop Nation has its own YouTube channel. So you can go to YouTube, type in Quip Hop with a K, and you'll in some videos. We also, DJ Quad from LA, he's the co-producer of the CD, and he has a disability, and he has, he does his own hip hop business out of LA. So we hooked up and got together and co produced the CD.
Okay. Okay. So, I think I'm finding you on SoundCloud, yes?
Yeah, under Leroy.
But there's nothing here. Wait a minute.
And also, you can go to Poor Magazine. I just put up a cut from myself and Keith Jones that's called Disabled Profiled. And you can listen to it there. You can listen to it at Poor Magazine, and go to Poor Magazine and just go to the Quip Hop page. That's my column.
I wanted to get some in while we were talking to you, so that it would. Now I go to Quip Hop.
Yeah, if you have Poor Magazine, just type in Quip Hop, you'll get that column. And in that column, you'll see that one of the articles is with Keith Jones and I.
Okay. Trip Hop Nation?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that didn't work. Leroy. More?
No. Poormagazine.org?
Yep.
So go to Poor Magazine. So under Poor Magazine, there is you can go to the media page, and under the media page is the Quip Hop Nation.
Got it. Okay, I found it. It just took a while.
Yeah.
And so, because I'd love to play some of this while we're on the air, so people can get a good idea. Under which one will we find a...
Under, it's called Disabled Racially Profiled, Expressed Through Song.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's with Keith Jones. Keith Jones is a friend of mine. He also is a black man with a disability. He also does hip-hop himself. And it's a real true story about him and me being profiled. He was profiled in Atlanta, Georgia during a Quip Hop event, and I was profiled here in Oakland. So.
Okay. Well, I'm not getting the song. It's not giving me the song here, Disabled. So I'm not going to be able to get it, but I can post the link for folks in the chat room, and that's
great. Great, awesome. Thank you.
Oh, hey, listen, that's the little of it. So if anybody wants to get a hold of your, they can go over to Poor Magazine and listen in and find out what kind of art you're creating over there. And then they can email you at criphopnation@gmail.com. Yeah?
Yeah, good.
I just keeping it real, right?
great. And thank you so much. And like I said, Cinnamon Valley would be interested in coming on. And for your listeners, if anybody is here in Oakland, Berkeley or California, and want to come out October 11th and 12th. And our ticket is going fast, so you should go to brownpapertickets.org and look for the Cinnamon Valley event and buy tickets.
Oh, wow, that's great. Your tickets are going fast. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's going fast, and it's a smaller venue this year. Usually we have it in a big performance theater. But this year, because it's all about the documentary, we wanted to have it in a theater. So it's an independent movie theater, really for the people and by the people, which we like at Tim. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. To recap, just one more time, I want to let people know that it's sinsinvalid.org to find that. Sinsinvalid.org, and that's sinsinvalid.org. To go find that information. Also, to get a hold of Leroy, you can find him on Facebook, Leroy Moore. I did. I found you.
Yeah.
Also took me by the hand and led me over to you, but I found you. And people can also get a hold of you at Crip Hop Nation. That's KRIPHOP NATION, CripHopNation@gmail.com.
Yes.
Great. Absolutely wonderful. We are down to the end of the show, and I'm so happy you came and spent the time with us. It's always a pleasure to have you, Leroy.
Yeah, and say hi to Oso from Jack, if you would, sir.
Yeah, yeah, he's probably listening.
I hope so.
I will.
And please don't forget you and all your gang, everyone, and the young lady working with you. I forget her name at the moment. Who's the maker of the film?
Oh, Patty Burns.
Patty Burns. You and Patty Burns.
Yeah.
Most welcome to come over and promote the week before the show. We're happy to help you. That would be week after next.
Yeah.
And very happy to help you. Shoot me, a message, and we will make, Jack and I will make the time for you.
Okay. And
sounds good.
Your show is every Sunday, right?
Yes.
Every Sunday at 3 p.m. your time.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you, Jack, and thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Leroy. We appreciate it very much, and we'll look forward to talking with you again shortly. So it should be an exciting weekend for you.
Yes, and so people can come back to the site, to the Blog Talk site, and listen to it again, right?
They can, yes. It's archived. The link is already on your page. They can find it there, and they can actually play it right there on your page on Facebook.
All right, great.
Yay. Jack, I want to make sure folks realize that they can find you over at Saturday Afternoon Post. Why don't you give us the website address?
It's Jack Jodell, JODELL 53 at WordPress.com, and that's where I'm at. And usually post at least twice a week, and so I can't do it every day like some people do. I admire those folks, but I don't know where they get the time. But at any rate, that's where I'm usually found, easily found. So
please go and visit Jack. He does a wonder. He's a good teacher. Reading Jack as I go into school. So he's a wonderful teacher, and I'm always interested in what you have to say. I also want to remind folks that this is part of this show is sponsored by Roundtree7.com. That's the number 7. It is a wonderful blog. Both Jack and I contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we are part of the Commons Project Network. We're a network building of folks who want to come together online to create a larger virtual community for change. All the good stuff that can go down. And we are also sponsored by DaughtersOfISIS.com. Go on over and check out the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And that's all we got time for. I'm getting this lady telling us, you know, we're getting cut off any second. So, guys.
All right. Keep thinking forward, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that is all. That is all for the Sunday show this week. Next week, Jack and I will return and look for posting on who our guests will be. Thank you for listening. This has been the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. I'm Gwen Berry with Jack Odell. Night, Jack.
Have a great week, everybody, and thanks, Gwen. Talk to you next week.
Night, night.
Night, night.